Randall Cunningham joins us on Sports Byline USA. You certainly know that name, former NFL quarterback who played 16 seasons in the National Football League. He played three of those seasons with the Vikings, 11 seasons with Philadelphia, also played with the Dallas Cowboys and the Ravens as well, four-time Pro Bowler, and he was named the NFL Player of the Year one year. And also, if you didn't know this, this guy could really ramble, the NFL career leader in yards rushing by a quarterback. But he has written a very interesting book that I hope you'll check out. It's called Lay It Down, How Letting Go Brings Out the Best in You. And I'm just wondering, that title is interesting, especially the last part. Tell me about it.
Well, you know what happens is so many of us, we have a great opportunity to do great things. We set our own goals and visions. But, you know, there comes a time that we have to learn that we carry too much around and we bring things upon ourselves. And so being able to lay things out is what brings out the best that's in us. Sometimes people don't see what's best in us because we have so much baggage we're carrying around.
What perspective do you have on your life and your career, Randall, at this point in your life as compared to, say, when you were playing football or the years immediately after leaving the game?
Well, I think during my career, I was trying to figure out who I was and what I was called to do. And I think when I look back now, I realize I found out whose I am or who I belong to. And everybody knows that I'm a Christian. So being a pastor here in Las Vegas, Nevada, I realize that my life is really not about me, but it's really about uplifting and edifying other people.
What was your life when you were playing? Because you know as well as I do, most people to be successful, particularly in sports, because of the up and down nature of it, you have to have a strong self-belief and probably ego as well. So what was that reflection of yourself when you were playing professional football?
Well, I think because I was trying to figure out who I was trying to figure out my identity and my personality. And I think in the midst of that, I grew to be kind of like an enigma, something you can't figure out. And while people on the exterior were trying to figure me out, I was still trying to figure myself out. So through that, I realized that I was a person who was still a good friend, but I was more introverted rather than being one who cared more about other people.
Did you see yourself more as a football player rather than an individual?
I think I got put into that category by people, and I wanted to be great, so all I saw was stardom. And then when I realized that my life wasn't about me, I was able to notice what was going on around me. But, it's really easy to become self-consumed by thinking that everything's about football.
Also, there's an interesting dynamic. Because you were a quarterback and then it's such a high-focused position by the media, by the fans, and even by your fellow players, that's a dynamic that maybe somebody in a different position would not have to deal with. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah, you are. And it's a difficult place to be because we're judged by people, you know, and people will figure out, well, Randall is who I want him to be, or some celebrity, people make us into what they want us to be. And then when we don't perform or we don't show that we're as good as we used to be, then we're quickly thrown to the side.
And there's another aspect, is there not, Randall? I mean, you could be a star in college. That's a label that gets put on a player. You could be a first-round draft pick. That's a label as well as an expectation that goes along with that. Did you have to deal with all of that when you came out of college?
No, I had to deal with a different one. I had to deal with, you know, how do you feel being a black quarterback in Philadelphia? So mine was a little different. I wasn't a first-round draft pick, although I was the first quarterback picked in the draft my year. When I came in, it was more like, well, who is this young kid? It wasn't, hey, he's the number one pick, and we expect you to win a Super Bowl within 2 years. Mine was, you know, how do you feel being an African-American quarterback in Philadelphia? And I was trying to figure that out, too.
Well, did you ever have to deal with that type of reasoning or questioning before you got to Philadelphia?
No, I never did.
And so you were not prepared for that, per se. And when you started thinking about it because you were being asked about it, what did you come up with?
Well, the first time they asked me that was when I was drafted and I did my first interview, and they asked me, how do you feel being a black quarterback or an African-American quarterback in the NFL or in Philadelphia? And I said, wow, that's amazing. I'm in South Philadelphia. I thought I was Italian, so I kind of threw it off to the side and didn't really want to answer the question. Yeah, I didn't want to be controversial as soon as I showed up on the scene.
The other thing, too, is that there are certain markets, certain places where teams are that are a little bit tougher than others. And when I think about, well, Kansas City, it's not like Philadelphia. It's not like New York. What did you find Philadelphia to be like? Because you were a guy that went to UNLV, and so your exposures were somewhat limited to the East Coast and certainly to the nature of Philadelphia.
I found Philadelphia to be a place of maturity, very strong-willed people, very strong, opinionated people, and that caused me to mature quickly as a man, as a young man. And I was thankful that I was able to go through Philadelphia and play there for 11 years because it made me a strong person. It made me understand what boldness is and what true confidence is. And to be able to maneuver in a town like that, I had to guard myself and watch my words carefully because I would be judged on my every word. But it made me strong.
But Randall, does anyone want to live their life that way, walking on eggshells? Because that's what it's like in that city.
It really can be like that at times, but let me tell you something. The people of Philadelphia want all of their athletes, entertainers, I don't care if it's Bruce Willis or whoever it may be, they want all of their people to become the greatest, and they will catapult you and push you to that level until you make it. But then when you get to the top, they want you to stay there.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, it's not shame on you or anything like that, but it's like, come on, you're one of us, and we represent you, and you represent us. So they want great representation.
And you know the reputation of Philadelphia fans. I mean, they go out to the airport and they boo bad landings, and that's a tough thing to deal with.
Yeah, but you know what? That's life, and whether it's being in California and playing for a California team, or you know, playing in New York, there's going to be different entities of. That catapults you to greatness, and I've had to learn how to use them to my benefit.
How long did it take for you to get to that point where you learned that?
Well, when I first got to Philadelphia, I just wanted to sign autographs for everybody. And when that became overwhelming, I realized that you're only as good as your last game. So yeah, I learned that really quick.
One of the things that was key in your development was a friendship that you had in Philadelphia with Reggie White. Tell me a little bit about how that developed and what he meant to you and how he moved and turned you around.
Well, what I talk about in my book, Lay It Down, I talk about Reggie becoming a mentor to me, about a person who would stand up, get in my face, tell me the truth about my life. And being a Christian man and a minister as he was, I was able to not heed his voice, not because he was 6'5" 340, running a 4.7 40, but because he was very authoritative. So I submitted myself to him, and he really helped me become part. Well, he had a lot of input to the person that I've become today because he really poured into my life the things of the gospel and held me accountable.
Is there any one particular story that you can share with us about your interaction with Reggie, how you guys interacted together?
Yeah, in my book, I share how Reggie came up to me one day, and I had been, I wanted to get married, so I had a girlfriend that was living in town. And Reggie came up to me and said, you know what, you just need to marry the girl, you can't live with her. And, you know, like a smart aleck, I was like, you know, you can't tell me what to do. And he just held me accountable. He said, Randall, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't act like one. But behind the scenes, you live in a different life. He said, you have to live the life. And by getting in my face and telling me that, and him being as big as he was and living the life himself, he was already married, I just really had to follow through with it, and I had to make a decision, and I did, based on his willingness to hold me accountable.
You talk in the book about your years in Philadelphia. When you look back upon them now about what you were able to accomplish on the field, the expectations of Randall Cunningham, the fact that you were a scrambling quarterback, how do you reflect on those years?
Well, I look back and I thank God for the ability to be able to maneuver the way that I did, the ability to increase my speed from a 4.59 coming into the draft to a 4.29 at the midpoint of my career. And I look back and I look at the impact of what it's done for some of these athletes nowadays who are being drafted in the top pick. And I'm really grateful that I was able to do what I was able to do.
Randall Cunningham is with us, and we're going to be talking a little bit later on about some other things. He talks very candidly in this book about America suffers from the ailment of fatherlessness, and we'll talk about that. But one more question before we take a break here, and that is that, Randall, when you take a look at football, where did the correct balance come in your life between the personal side and the football side?
I think it came from my parents and my upbringing, first of all. They laid the foundation, a biblical foundation. And, you know, the Bible says to train a child up in the way he should go, and when he grows old, he will not depart from it. If I had not have had that foundation, I really would have pulled on the things of this world. I may have pulled on the drugs and the alcohol and things like that. But because they gave me a foundation, I knew to go back to the Bible. So that had a very powerful impact on my life, just staying grounded.
Randall Cunningham is with us, and again, I want to urge you to check out this book. It's a fascinating read. It's called Lay It Down, How Letting Go Brings Off Out Your Best, and I want you to check it out because it's a good read. You'll learn an awful lot from what he has to say. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.